This is Susan V. Brock, Telluride, Inside and Out. Steve Paltz is a living example of the American musical tradition, a songwriter who can bend your ear with a hooky melody, then break your heart with a wry observation about the human condition. His latest album, Shine On, stands as a testament to that fact. A short 10-song turning of the mirror onto us. That was Pop Matters. In my words, anyone who can rhyme, who can write a song titled, Hey God, I'll Trade You Donald Trump for Leonard Cohen, and rhymes Potato Knish with Briss, is not to be missed. Steve Paltz performs on the main stage of the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Sunday at very high noon. Steve, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
So would you please talk about the path, your path to fame and fortune over three decades from a singer-songwriter to a singer-songwriter? Do you come from a musical family?
I do. My mom sang all the time, God rest her soul. She passed away in December, and she played piano and a little bit of guitar, and my dad always wrote poems and ran around the house singing. So arts were always encouraged. And then my mom's brother, Uncle Louis, was a great piano player, and he would have me sing at recitals. So, and took me to the Hollywood Bowl to see Julian Bream play classical guitar, and to see Ella Fitzgerald, Carmen McRae, Sarah Vaughan. And so I feel like I was always raised with this sense of music, and I've always loved it.
Thank you. What was the deal back when when you were with Telluride Local Jewel? The story about the whale watch, the Federales, and the drug bust, and are the rug burns still in your life?
Yeah, the Federales drug bust, I was with Jewel, and we had gone down to go surfing and camping, and we ended up on with some Mexican Federales who were happened to be looking for drug smugglers, and then they saw us, and I think they liked Jewel. She was wearing a yellow bikini, and so they asked us if we wanted to go whale watching, and the whole thing seemed kind of shady to me, but Jewel really wanted to go whale watching. So I said, sure. So we went out on this boat, and then sure enough, in the middle of the ocean, they got a call that they had to go catch these guys, and they didn't have time to take us back to shore, and there might be a shootout. So they gave us these vests and guns and told us to be ready to shoot or cover. And then they caught these guys, and they had a whole bunch of pot, which is funny nowadays because pot's legal in so many places, but this was back in the 90s, and it was in Mexico. So they caught these guys, and we were on the boat, and then the cops made me get all the weed, and they were hanging out with Jewel, and there was tons of weed, and they threw it on this boat and had these guys handcuffed and brought us all back to shore. And then we wanted to get out of there, and they said, hey, this is the largest drug bust we've had in years. And I said, all right, well, we got to get out of here. And they said, well, stick around, we're going to have a party. So then they asked us if we wanted some of the pot, and Jewel was pinching my arm, like, do not take any of that. And I said to Jewel, a man with a badge in Mexico is telling me to take some weed. It's like the Pope is telling me to take weed. So they gave me a kilo, and then Jewel made me give it away to a woman who was cooking some spaghetti sauce for a Mormon youth group feed that was coming out of Mexico. And I guess they dosed all the missionaries, and everybody was playing Frisbee naked. And I came out and saw that, and the rest is history. And then the next morning we wrote that song called You Were Meant for Me, and it became a big hit.
Wow. Great story. And what about the rug burns? What about the rug burns? Are they still in your life?
And the rug burns were a major part of my life for many years. That's where I kind of got my musical start in San Diego, and I started the rug burns. And we still play once a year at my birthday bash at the Belly Up in Solana Beach, California. And we'll do, this is going to be my 10th annual 50th birthday bash. Our last year was my 10th annual. This will be my 11th annual 50th birthday bash. because the first annual is when I turned 50. So next year I'll turn 60 and it'll be my 11th annual. It's weird math. And so that's when we play. I would like to maybe think about doing a short tour, but you know, everybody's kind of gone their own ways and one's a teacher. And we live in different areas, but it would be fun to do a tour for a week or two. I'm glad we play once a year.
Thank you. Why did you leave Canada? Do you regret that move now? I mean, Trudeau versus he who shall not be named, though you do name him and, hey, God, I'll trade your Donald Trump four-letter cone. So take us through that cycle of that exodus from Canada to the U.S.
Well, I became a citizen of the United States when I was really young. And I didn't have a choice in moving from Canada. I was very young. And my dad was in the RCAF, which is the Royal Canadian Air Force. And he got out, and we were living in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And he was tired. He and my mom were tired of the snow. So they moved us across the country in the 60s with probably only $500 in a station wagon to Southern California. And that's where I was raised. And I'm lucky enough to be a dual citizen because it's super fun when I go to Canada because they always say, welcome home. And then when I come back to the United States, they always go, welcome home. So I get this dual existence. And I love both countries. Like I love – there's so many great things about Canada and so many great things about the United States, and as well with Australia because I go there a lot too. And Australia is like Canada except with better weather. And the U.S. is a crazy creature. The United States, it's a fascinating country, and we have so much wealth and so many good things, and so much art, and we're so influential. And yet, a lot of times, our power gets used in the wrong way. And it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out with he who shall not be named. I'm kind of tired of prognosticating because every time I think I know what I'm talking about, I don't. I was a political science major, which means I'm an expert.
Okay.
I think
well, we won't do any of that kind of prognostication right now. We'll stick with the music.
Yeah, I think I know a lot, but I really don't. And I'm basically just another one of the masses pontificating, and I really believe my point of view is correct, and I'm tired of arguing with people, so I'm kind of like a punch drunk fighter, and I want this chapter to end.
Uh-huh. I can assure you, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the music, though. I would love to talk politics with you. What inspires you to write? Waitresses with gold teeth, hot pharmacists, what else?
Oh, anything. The greatest thing about my job is I can write about anything I want. There are no rules, which I love. I love my life. I love that I get to do this. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I mean, people have hard lives, and they're trying to make a living, and they have bills and children and divorces and everything that they have to go through, and good things. And I don't know, I'm lucky that I get to play for all these people. So what inspires me to write songs is any of the mundane things of life. Like I have a song on my new record, Shine On, and it's called Windows of Halifax. And it's all about these windows having a conversation with each other and what they've seen. So that inspired me when I started writing that song. Pharmacist, like I will look at anything and I can turn it into a song. I've never had a shortage of anything to write about or melodies for that matter. It's the greatest job in the world and I'm lucky that I get to live my dream.
You definitely are. So now why the move to Nashville from San Diego? And has it been worth all the packing and unpacking? I hear songs are in the air in Nashville, like the pollution in L.A.
Well, with Nashville, I didn't even want to move here. I never even liked this town. I used to tell people I can't stand Nashville. I'd always say I'm an Austin guy because I always loved Austin, Texas. And then I was playing all these festivals, and I noticed everybody I knew had moved to Nashville. And my girlfriend really wanted to move out here. She thought I belonged out here, my girlfriend Sharon. And we got in a huge fight over it. And so I actually said to her in this fight, I got so mad at her, I said, I'm not leaving San Diego. I am San Diego. And I meant it. Like you say stupid things when you get in a fight sometimes with somebody? Like, we got in this terrible fight. I thought it was going to break us up. And I actually said that idiotic quote. I am San Diego. I had just lost my temper. I didn't want to move. It was like I was just having a tantrum about having to move. And she really thought it would be good for me. And then we got out here, and it was like everything fell into place. I'm not kidding you. I started saying, why didn't I move out here 10 years ago? This is the greatest place. Like, I'd live right by a cool coffee house. I go there every day. I run into all these musicians. It's like every day is Folk Alliance or every day is South by Southwest or Americana Fest. And people are like, hey, you want to write a song? You want to go do this? You want to hang out? Something comes up. Let's make a video. And for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm with my tribe. And I'm so happy being here. I can't even believe I'm saying that. I mean, I miss the weather of San Diego, of course, and surfing. But I really love it out here, and I don't even ever want to move. It's weird how – this is why I think I'm a crazy person, because I can just feel so adamant about something and then completely realize there's another way of looking at it.
Thank you. Would you now talk about your latest release, Shine On, starting with your relationship with Will Kimbrough of Emmylou and Rodney Crowell fame? Are the title and the song all about shining a light on our troubled times? Is the pickup song based on a true story? And what the heck is the syndrome ODD besides, well, odd?
Okay. First part of the question was Will Kimbrough, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Will Kimbrough I met years ago when he was on tour with my friend Todd Snyder, and I was in the Rugburns, and Todd Snyder in the Nervous Wrecks, and we were playing wiffle ball inside a bar, and me and Todd painted each other's toenails, and then Will Kimbrough was laughing, and I really got along with him. I thought he would be fun to make a record with. And so we had always kept in touch. And then when I moved to Nashville, I said, hey, I'm thinking about making a record. And he said, come over, check out my little demo studio, and then we can talk about it. So I went to his house, and then he said, we can go to this beautiful studio. We can go to Capitol. He was naming all these great studios. And I said, what about this room? He goes, this is just where I do demos. I go, I know, but I feel at home in here. It was out like back behind his garage in this shed. And he goes, well, this is my favorite place to record, but I thought you would want like a fancy studio. I go, no, I like this. Can it just be us? And so we just got to have the best time making this record, and had a really good guy mix it named Brad Jones. And it was so easy to make that record and so fun. And Will Kimbrough is so talented. And as you mentioned, he plays with Emmylou Harris, played with Rodney Crowell. He's with Todd Snyder, and he also has all his own solo records out. He was also in a band called Daddy with Tommy Womack. And so it was just such a fun situation making that record. And then the other part of your question.
The second part was about the title song and what you're trying to say in that song.
Oh, the pickup song. So what I love about Nashville is, I have this really beautiful home I bought, and people will come over. Due to my success with the Jewel hit in Nashville, mm-hmm. That's like having some good currency. If you have a song that was a hit, people want to write songs with you because they think, well, it happened once. Maybe it'll happen again. And so folks will hang out and come over and write songs. So this buddy of mine who was in a band called Stray Birds, and another friend of mine, Anthony DaCosta, they came over and we said, let's write a song about pickup and see how many, let's write a real, write a country song because there's so many different ways you can say pickup in a song. And so we were exercising all those ideas, and that's how that song was born. It was just a fun little game, and we weren't even, none of us were even going to record it. We were like, let's write this as a hit for a country star like Trace Atkins or somebody. And then one thing led to another, and I go, this is so cool. I want to record it.
What about the title song, Shine On? What are you trying to say in that?
Oh, that was like a gift. I remember I wrote that. I woke up in the morning, and I was actually in Encinitas, California. And I'd had a cup of tea, and it was just one of those, I call them like songs that are just gifted to you. So in that song, it was just what I was feeling. It was just a meditative song. And there was like so much, everybody was yelling at each other on the news and on TV and yelling at each other on Facebook. And I just wanted to write a pretty song and shut out the world, kind of a meditative song. And so that's how I wrote that.
Okay. And then you have said you have a syndrome with the initials ODD. What is that and how does it relate to Shine On?
Well, I know for a fact I have ADD, and we all know what ADD is, ADHD. And so music has always been able, it's always been something I can focus on. But I always felt I had a little bit of ODD, which is oppositional defiance disorder. And so if somebody tells me not to do something, I will do it because I like to go against the grain. So the worst thing somebody could say to me is, don't play that song or don't do this because I'm going to want to do it.
If your girlfriend had only known that, she might have said, let's not move to Nashville.
I know, right? I remember years ago when I was in the Rugburns, we were looking for a record deal, and this guy named Buddy Blue came in, and he was going to produce us. And he was in a band called the Beat Farmers, and he had a connection with Frank Zappa's label, which was Bizarre Planet Records. And he said, I'm bringing in a guy from Bizarre Planet Records, and whatever you do, do not do that stupid Sesame Street song, because we would do a cover of the theme to Sesame Street. He said, do not do that. And so what did I open with? The theme to Sesame Street. And I looked right at him while I played it, as if a way of just like being like, screw you, don't ever tell me what I can and can't play. And we ended up getting the record deal.
Okay. So on to Telluride. What are you looking forward to most about coming to Telluride and performing on the main stage of Telluride Bluegrass?
I am seriously looking forward to getting back on that stage because I got to play on it years ago with Jewel. We went on right before Ani DeFranco, and Jewel called me out, and we sang a couple songs together. And I just love how beautiful it is there. I love how everybody's so focused on the music and all the other musicians I'm going to get to meet. I get to hang out there all weekend. I'm so thrilled to be able to play Telluride Bluegrass Festival. It's an honor.
Great. What should Festivarians expect from Steve Paltz? And for that matter, what do you expect from the audience?
Well, from me, they're going to get a good time, hopefully, some good stories, a sense of community, laughter. And I've learned not to expect anything from an audience because every time I have expectations are just future resentments under construction.
Okay. I think that's a good way to end this conversation, which I would love to continue, but I think we can cut it here. This has been Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. I've been delighted to be speaking with Steve Paltz. He returns to Telluride to play the main stage at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival on Sunday. Again, very high noon. Thanks again for your time, Steve. I really appreciate it and look forward to meeting you.
Thank you, man. You too. I'm sorry I made you get up so early.
No problem. No problem. I was up. I have a puppy to walk.
Oh, good. I get up at 5, so I've been up for hours.
Okay. Well, have a great day, Steve, and thanks again.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.